This is Nation Talk.
This edition of Nation Talk is brought to you by Targus Canada, your technology mobility company. Targus discounts can be found on the Nation Talk website by clicking on the Targus logo. It's Frank Abate from Nation Talk, and tonight we're joined by Albert Diamond, President and CEO of Air Quebec. Albert, welcome to Nation Talk.
Thank you very much.
Now, you've got storied career and lifetime. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the last 30, 40 years of your career, your life, some of the things that have been going on in northern Quebec. I mean, you've probably got some stories you can't tell, but tell us about some of them you can.
Well, I think it started when I was in my second year of university, when my brother Billy, who was the chief in our community at that time, called me and talked to me about an announcement by Robert Bourassa, who was the premier of Quebec at the time, announcing the James Bay Hydro Project. From that, it led to the Crees organizing themselves and then deciding to take both the government of Quebec and the government of Canada to court on it. In our area, there were never any settlement of land claims or any agreements at that time. After Billy and Philip Owashes decided to find out as much as they can about this project, what would happen to the Crees and specifically their traditional way of life, they felt that they had something to be able to bring the matter to court, maybe even negotiate an agreement, that type of thing. We decided that that's the Cree chiefs and a group of young Crees that they had hired to take the matter to court. And we won in the first round, and immediately after that, the Quebec government made an offer to negotiate an agreement. That led to the signing of the James Bay Agreement in 1975. By that time, we had formed our first organization, which is still our political organization, called the Grand Council of the Crees. And one of the positions created not long after the signing of the agreement was the treasurer's position, and it was an elected position, and the chiefs elected me to that position. So I was started off looking after the financial affairs of the Crees, and that led into, with the implementation of the James Bay Agreement, into the creation of the Board of Compensation, which is the corporation responsible for the management of the compensation monies, and I was chairman of that for 12 years.
That was technically the first real settlement in Canada where somebody had to say, yes, we owe some people some resources and resource sharing. You know, I know that you're a strong supporter and proponent of partnership. You managed to get an agreement with your local councils, your local First Nations, and you became a real community at that time.
Yeah, in fact, you know, when I do make speeches and presentations throughout the country, one of the things I say all the time is one of the reasons for our success is that the Crees stayed united. They worked together. And with that also came some great leadership with the grand chiefs that have been elected by our people. So there was always strong leadership. And when you have that, you know, a united nation, strong leadership, boy, you can accomplish a lot of things. And of course, we also recognized very early that, hey, it took more than one person to do everything. It took a whole group of us. I always said that, you know, I never heard the chief say, I did this or I did this alone. It's always, we did this. I don't know if that was done on purpose, but it's always been that way. A lot of the young chiefs that have been elected recently, they say that now too, because it's the way it's always been with the Crees of Quebec. Today, you know, I corrected myself. I used to always say that it started with two young Crees, Billy Diamond and Philip Owashes, and then I said, no, it started from our grandfathers and our fathers, because they followed the traditional way of life of the Crees, and all those values there, they practiced them. We just followed them. We were taught those things, and now we pass them on to the young people and to our own children.
So your community is experiencing some fantastic economic development and growth that you've obviously been a big part of, but how about some of the traditional ways of life? Is that still part of the community?
Yes. In fact, when you look at what we were able to get under the James Bay Agreement, it's basically every aspect of our life is under our control. And we've been able to do things like set up our own Cree school board, where we changed the curriculum so that that our language could be taught in the classrooms, our culture could be taught in the classrooms. In fact, the first 3 years of school of any Cree child, everything is taught in Cree. And the teachers are our elders, and the young people participate in canoe expeditions. These are 4-week-long trips, and they go out on the land, they live on the land, and when they come back, they have a new respect for the environment, new respect for the land, new respect for our customs and traditions. These things we've been doing since the signing of the agreement. Our language, everybody speaks it. There are times when you even get reprimanded when you start speaking a little too much English. But it's very strong, and that's exactly what we would hope, we had hoped would happen. And there are people that have come along, and they continue to always remind us how important our language, our culture is.
I'm going to say this, and I hope I'm being delicate. Now, you folks, your community is almost a poster child of a successful First Nations community that's retained its heritage, embraced growth and economic prosperity to some degree. This is something that a lot of other First Nations in Canada are going to be hopefully experiencing. Do you have any words of wisdom and experience?
Yes, we have all of that, and all of it is very positive. But there's still some negative things, too. Our society has changed over the 30 years, what it took, say, the French-Canadian society 100 years. There's bound to be some negative aspects to it. We do have social problems, violence, alcohol and drug abuse, that kind of thing. The good thing about it is it's our people dealing with it. We have people in place that help those that have problems with alcohol and those that have problems with drugs, and we have Crees who have been trained to be social workers and so on and so forth. So there is a negative side to this fast pace of change. But on the whole, the quality of life for our people has improved vastly. All our communities are very well developed. There's even communities now that have paved streets and parks and you name it. You would think you were in a suburb of a city down south if you were to visit them. Yeah, there's all of the community facilities that you need, like arenas and gathering places and homes for the elderly, that type of thing. It's all there. We retain a lot of the traditional values that we have, but it's also being changed. I mean, you see a lot of young people play golf, for example, play tennis. They take up new sports. We still have a lot of issues surrounding health, where diabetes, heart disease, cancer is a problem. It's last 20 years we've seen a dramatic increase in that. Where does it come from? Well, it's that change in lifestyle. We, again, have to focus on those and get our people to correct them, to work with those people that have those problems. But overall, yeah, our quality of life has improved vastly.
I understand you're starting to work with First Nations. So you're embracing new partnerships, and they want you as partners, and you want them as partners. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about how that's working out.
Yeah, I don't know when it started, but our leadership has always said that we have to share the knowledge we've and experience that we've gained with anybody that asks. And most of the time it's other First Nations groups. We've been where they are, some of them. We know what happens if you're given a chance, given a helping hand. It's always been one of our best values, I believe, is to share. We do that through joint ventures and partnerships in business, working together in education with other First Nations, on health issues, stuff like that with First Nations people in the States, for example. There are so many different things that First Nations people in Canada are doing. We learn from them, too. And there's this exchange, I believe. It's not just a one-way thing where we're doing all the giving. No, we get just as much back, I believe. There are things that they do that we think that we should be doing. And I think it's just great. I think that's the way it should be, because our elders tell us that's the way it's always been with our people.
Parting words of wisdom from you, Albert?
I would say it has to do with change. People shouldn't be afraid to change. change can be controlled to a certain degree. You can make things happen the way you want them. You can see results that you want the way you want them. It's a matter of working on them, and if you don't have the resources, you go to other people that do have them. You work with them. I was saying earlier that there's so many people that are ready to share what they've learned, what they've experienced, and sometimes we don't take advantage of that. And I would say to anybody that's listening, hey, you go for it. You can make a difference.
Mr. Albert Diamond, President and CEO of Air Quebec, thanks for spending some time with myself and Nation Talk.
Thank you.
This edition of Nation Talk has been brought to you by Targus Canada, your technology mobility company. Targus discounts can be found on the Nation Talk website by clicking on the Targus logo.
For more information, visit our website at nationtalk.ca. Thanks for listening.